You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in Galatians, and we left off last week in verse number 13. Let's read verse 13 to 15, though we're going to go through that quickly and get into the other verses tonight. Let's read verse 13, 14, and 15 together. Ready? Begin. For brethren, let's bow for prayer. Father, we want to thank you so much for an enthusiastic crowd, a crowd that undoubtedly has worked very hard today, their jobs, our motherhood, our schools, and now they have just come in and sat down for probably, perhaps the very first time all day. Give them a mind to hear the Word of God for the next few moments. And I pray that you'd really work in our hearts. God, speak to us tonight. May this just not be same old. May it be where you actually speak to our hearts. And may we heed that which we hear tonight. I pray your blessing upon the children's program, sixth grade and below, all the workers that are working with our children. God, open their eyes to present the gospel to every child. And I pray that tonight would be the night, by the time they go home, that they talk to their parents about salvation. I want to thank you tonight for the nursery and all the army of nursery workers that are in there. Bless them tonight, we pray. I pray for Brother Sloan and the Spanish ministry at the other property. What a great crowd they have and enjoy. And I pray that you'd use Brother Sloan tonight powerfully to speak to the Spanish people. Bless our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 13, for brethren, he is writing to Christians, these that were so far removed from the gospel in chapter 1, verse 6. Brethren, ye have been called unto what? Liberty. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. What was the yoke of bondage? It was the law. That's what he's covering all throughout this text. It's the law. And God's word says ye have been called to liberty. Liberty is freedom. That's what the word liberty means. It means freedom. It means to be free from the law in this case. Ye have been called to liberty. Liberty is not license. Well, I've been called to liberty. I can do whatever I want. I can smoke. I can drink, I can go to the shows, I can dance, I can dress like I want. No, liberty and license are not the two things. They're not synonymous. Just because God says you've been called to liberty, he's speaking about the law. Therefore, brethren, ye have been called to liberty, only use not liberty for the occasion of the flesh. My Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all that is in the world, it's not of the Father, but of the world. For everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit. Everything. Music. In the church, there's Christian music, and then there's other music. There's songs, and he says, speaking to yourself in Psalms, Ephesians 5:18, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart. That's God's foundation for music. But I don't want that kind of music. I want a music that is more liberated, more freedom, more contemporary, more rock and roll, more. But for everything that God has, Satan has a replica. So there would have to be, and you're going to have to figure it out, there would have to be worldly music. True or false? True. There has to be. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, that's a key word, holy, acceptable in God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, squeezed into the mold of this world. Be transformed. Be different. Go with me to the airport. Go with me to the, I've been in Atlanta airport just recently, and or Dallas airport recently, or Greensboro, all these different airports I go. Go with me to the airport and see the throngs of people. Just throngs. I mean, just, I was in, I don't know where I was at. I thought I was going to Philadelphia. I got there about midnight and looked, and I said, I'm flying to Philadelphia tonight. And I looked, there was nobody going to Philadelphia. I figured out I was going to, where was I going? Not Greensboro, Charlotte. I was going to Charlotte. And I watched all these people, and I got to Charlotte on Monday morning, and there was just, it was a sea. Charlotte's a big airport. It's a long airport, and it's just a sea of people everywhere. You could hardly walk. It was just a, now, here's the thing about an airport. An airport today, everybody looks the same. Everybody looks the same. We all have blue jeans on. We all have t-shirts on. That's just what everybody looks the same. Now say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay. Then let's do something. Let's make it then a rule, because you can't have any rules. No, this is not license. This is liberty. Let's make it a rule that every man in this church this Sunday, I want every one of you to do this. Every single man in this auditorium, I want you in a woman's dress and high heels, and I want you to have a purse with you this Sunday. I want you to have makeup on this Sunday, every man. God's word, it says, it's a shame for a woman to wear that which pertaineth to a man. There has to be a difference. There has to be a difference. Now, you're going to have to figure out what that difference is. But there has to be a difference. There has to be a difference between male. We have a president that just signed an executive order that there are two genders. Well, thank God for a man that stand and said, no DEI and two genders. Well, the lawsuits are already coming. They had three yesterday. I don't know how many they've had today. He's going to fight lawsuits for the next 4 years. He's going to fight CNN and MSNBC and all those others and those clowns and those Democrats and all of that. But you know what? I'm not reluctant to say that, because I have the freedom to say that now. Ye have been called to liberty, only use not liberty in the occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one against another. Now, I've sort of run through that to get to verse 16 through 26. We won't cover them all tonight. God's word makes it very clear about the Spirit of God. 14 times in 6 chapters, God speaks about the Spirit of God in the book of Galatians. The Spirit of God. What's the function of the Spirit of God? What does the Holy Spirit of God do for you? I know I'm putting you on the spot here. Someone, what does the Spirit of God do for us? Someone help me here tonight. What does the Spirit of God, Happy, what does the Spirit of God do for us? He comforts us. He's called the Comforter. In all your, we had a listener friend. He's such a faithful friend. And today he called, and I tried to call him back and didn't reach him. But he's on the East Coast, I believe, and he called. He said, my wife, we love KMBC, as she passed away yesterday. Well, there's a man that needs comfort, and the Holy Spirit is going to comfort him through KMBC. We've had, Brother Everson, we've had more people say, my mother was dying, and she just wanted to listen to KMBC. That has happened often. Or my father was dying, and in the dying of my dad, that music that night just comforted our heart all night long. He's the comforter. What else does the Holy Spirit do for us? We had one from this section. How about this section here? What does the Holy Spirit do for us? What's he do? Someone else here tonight, you're all looking at me. Okay, yeah, what right there? He convicts us. John 16, he'll convict us of sin. Don't do that, Jack. You know, the Holy Spirit, I'm more aware of the Holy Spirit than ever. He has sealed my mouth so many times. Don't say that. You're all smiling at me, Anthony. I see you smiling there. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You're married. But the Holy Spirit seals our mouth. And it's up to me to listen to the Spirit of God. He convicts us of sin. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. The don'ts ought not to come from this pulpit. The don'ts ought to come from the Holy Spirit of God. What else does he do? He comforts us. He convicts us. What else does he do? You know, men, you can play this game too. We have two ladies so far answering. What else does the Holy Spirit do? In the back there, yes. Sister Geary? Empowers us. For what purpose? He empowers us to win the lost to Christ. What else does the Holy Spirit do? Brother Manna? Kindness? Oh, it guides us. Yeah, I think that's John 16, 9. I think it's that text. I know it's 16, but I think it's 9. So he guides us. Brother Thomas, what's the Spirit of God do? Fills us. Seals us. Either I'm deaf or you people are not talking loud enough. You know, there's many other functions of the Holy Spirit, but these are functions he fills us. This is a function of the Holy Spirit. Now, he introduces the Spirit. He's going to talk about the Spirit four times. We won't get to all four tonight. I'll get to many of them. But he says in the next verse, walk. Look what he says in verse 16. This I say then, let's read it together. Ready? This I say then, walk. See, it is so easy for me to walk in the flesh. It is easy for me to walk in fear. It is easy for me to walk in fright or whatever it might be. It's easy. But God says, don't do that. You will, when I walk in the Spirit, I'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you walking in the Spirit, child of God? Am I walking in the Spirit of God? The second thing he says, for the Spirit, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so then that you cannot do those things that you would. But here's the second one. If ye be what? Okay, we can walk in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way, walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus, walking in with Jesus, walking in the Spirit of God. I walk with the King. Hallelujah. Do you walk in the Spirit? We all fail. Everyone, and we fulfill the lust of the flesh. But are you walking in the Spirit? And when you get out of line and you're not walking the Spirit, would you at least get it confessed? I've got to confess that, God. I'm wrong. I'm not right. I answered my wife in the spirit of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. I answered God's people with a shortness. I was not kind. I didn't stop and help that person. When the Spirit of God talks to us, then listen. Then he says, secondly, we're going to be led by the Spirit. Now, if you're led by the Spirit, he's going to give us, I think we'll close, we'll close, but I'm not closing for a long time, but we'll close with this here tonight. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. What's the first one, class? adultery. Adultery is immoral activity with two married people that are not married to one another. You know, you can commit adultery, what I call cyber adultery, with your computer. And men and women, I'm always surprised, well, you men, bunch of whoremongers. Well, yeah, but if you're committing adultery, you're doing that with a lady. You're doing with that a lady and a man. And the Bible says adultery. Adultery is so very, very important tonight. God's word, God's people, we should not ever, ever be involved in adultery. What's the next word say? Adultery. What's the next word he says? The next word he says is fornication. Ushers, go ahead. Brother Nathan, go ahead and take care of that. Fornication is that where we have with unmarried couples, people that are in sin with one another. I've lost you all, haven't I? I'm trying to get your attention over here. I'm coming way over here, so you'll look this way, but you're over here looking that way. There we go. Ushers, you help them. I had them turn the air conditioner. It's hot in here now, isn't it? Let me do a weather check. Just a weather check. It snowed 7.5 inches in Florida. 7.5 inches in Florida. That's a record. Okay, how many in this room, it's hot in here tonight? Three ladies. How many it's just right? How many it's too cold? No, it's not even on, sister. Oh, Anthony, everything you told me about her, that's the second time I've told you, everything you told me about her is true. So God says, this is all, you know, we're going to find out next week that when a man's overtaken in these faults, or a woman is, ye that are a spiritual, restore such one. This church ought to have some adulterers in it. This church ought to have some folks that have committed fornication in it. It's getting really quiet now. But that's Bible. And if we're not careful, we bite and devour one another, the Bible says. Look what else he says. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness. That's filthiness of the mind and heart. My mind is just always filthy. My heart is always filthy. And then he says lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is just, there's no control. There's no taming that person. As an animal is tamed, but you cannot tame a man that's given over to sin and his flesh. And then he goes on to say in verse 20, idolatry, placing anything above God or man. Look what else he says, witchcraft. That's that Greek word pharmakeia, where we get the word pharmacy. And pharmacy means drugs. I go to the drug store. God's word declares, even in this time, there's such a thing as drugs. And people gave themselves over to drugs and drugs. In other words, these things can, a Christian can fulfill these. He's writing to brethren. And hatred. Hatred is challenging others, youth. It's challenging your mom and dad. I don't care how old you get. And I know you come down the aisle in a bride's dress and the groom's here and you leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. I know all that. But I would challenge you never, ever, ever. Never, never have a challenge with your parents. Never. Just don't do it. I told the teenagers this morning, we were in Proverbs 10, because on the 10th day of this month, God really spoke to my heart about wisdom in that passage. 119 times you'll find it in the book of Proverbs. A lot of things I failed as a son with my parents, but I never caused my parents one night to be awake over my actions. And I'm talking about not just drinking and drugs and all that. I'm talking about just life. I never kept them awake one night. Now, there's a lot of things when they passed away, and I looked at him in their casket on March the 5th, 2015, 10 years ago, and 7 years ago for my dad. And I had so many regrets that I wish I would have been a better son. But I don't have any regrets. I never challenged my parents, kids. Never challenge your dad. Never challenge your mom. You take care of your mother. You take care of your father. You take care of your family. And that's what hatred is. When there's hatred in the home, it's challenging others. And then there's variance. That is strife with one another. Emulations, that's jealousy and rivalries, if you're writing them down. Wrath is outburst. Well, you just got to get over it. I'm a German. That's the way we respond. Well, I'm Italian. That's the way we respond. No, you don't give a what nationality you are. That's a sinner. That's a sinner who's been saved by grace, but you're still acting with sin. And strife. Strife is self-seeking all the time. Always self-seeking. You know, we work in a Christian environment, all of our employees. And I could tell you, I right now, honey, I believe I have the best. That doesn't mean I haven't had better and great employees in the past. But overall, I have the best Brother Fanera employees I've ever had in my life. We're pulling for one another. We're praying for one another. We love one another. We do our own thing, and we get our work done, and we try to help one another. But in a church, if we're not careful, we become strife, self-seeking, and sedition is divisions, and heresies is cliques. Well, you know, I'm not part of that crowd. I'm not in the in crowd. What's the in crowd? Let me know. I'd like to get in on it. And envy. And envy is holding grudges. Who are you holding a grudge against tonight? What grudge do you have, child of God, against one another? And murder, taking the life of another. And drunkenness, that's alcohol. And revelings. Reveling is party animal. It's no restraints. And God says, if I'm going to be led of the Spirit, I'm not going to fulfill these 17, 18 items if I'm led by the Spirit. One in a crowd this size, who's in adultery right now? I wonder who's in fornication right now. I wonder who's with seditions or heresies or emulations or lasciviousness right now. God says, I want you to, I'm almost a walk in the Spirit. I want you to be led by the Spirit. But then he tells us the third thing, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 16. What is verse 16 of the Spirit? Say it together. Walk in the Spirit. Say it together.
Walk in the Spirit.
Verse 18. Led of the Spirit. Say it again.
Led of the Spirit.
Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. God reveals that there is fruit. The first three are Godward. The next three is manward. And the last three are selfward. Let's look at God's word tonight quickly. The fruit of the Spirit is threefold. Love, joy, peace. That's all God. Who can give peace? God. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. God's word can give peace. God's word, God, yeah, who God is. Joy, that's inward peace, inward calm, inward happiness. Not moved by the outside, not moved by all the issues of the day. But love, and love is agape, for God so loved, agape the world. So God says, if you're going to be the fruit of the Spirit, because fruit always reveals the root. So if I'm attached to the root, I'm going to have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to have threefold Godward. What are they? Love, and then I'm going to have manward. Long suffering. That's courage without quitting. Don't ever quit. Don't ever quit on God. And gentleness. That's kindness. Be kind one to another. And goodness. That's love in action. That's all manward. I'm to show long suffering to you. I'm to show gentleness. God's word tells me as a pastor, I'm to be gentle. I cannot be harsh. And God's word declares us, we're to have goodness toward mankind. But then the last three are faith, that's dependability upon God. Meekness, that's power under control. And temperance, that's self-control. Do you have temperance in your life? Let's finish it off tonight, verse 24, 25. Verse number 16, let's say verse 16 together. Ready? Begin. Walk in the Spirit. Verse 18, led of the Spirit. Verse 22, fruit of the Spirit. But if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we're to live in the Spirit, means we're alive. Are you alive? Are you dying in your Christian walk with God? If we live in the Spirit, let us also not walk in the flesh, verse 16, but let us walk in the Spirit. I want to, so next verse here, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, but envying one another. So if I'm living in the Spirit, I'm living for my mate. I'm living for my children. I'm living for my grandchildren. I'm living for the deacons that God's given to me. I'm living for the staff. I'm living for the ushers. I'm living for the Sunday school teachers. I'm living for the bus workers. I'm living for the church membership. If I'm living in the Spirit, God says, son, I want you to live in the Spirit, and you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's fourfold in this text tonight about the Spirit of God. One, I am to walk in the Spirit. Two, I'm to be led of the Spirit. Three, I'm to have the fruit of the Spirit. And four, I'm to live my life in the Spirit of God. Father, I thank you so much for our people. I love these people, God. They know I do. I just love them. I'm so thankful for them. I'm thankful for their love, their devotion, their faithfulness. And tonight, help us to depend on the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will keep us from the flesh. 17 items, I think, there. All those are fleshly. If we live in the Spirit, we're going to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. God, help us to have the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to live in the Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.